All right. There's a lot of stuff going on in this, in these couple passages. Things such as elders in the church, their roles in terms of their, you know, their power and authority to lead the church in terms of not just leadership and teaching, but also in prayer. And there's also an aspect of sickness that's interrelated with spiritual warfare and stuff like that. A whole lot of stuff, okay? We're not going to go over all of that stuff, okay? We're going to just scratch the surface. And so we might just be parked here in these couple passages for a few weeks, if need be. Nonetheless, the two lessons that we want to focus on, it's in your bulletin, that we want to see. The first one being prayer brings focus. Okay, prayer brings focus. All right, so what does that mean? All right, James talks about two different types of prayer, but mind you, in the view of the Bible, prayer is the same in this passage. In terms of what James calls prayer and praise, it's two aspects or two sides of the same thing. Okay? And so prayer in terms of, whether it be prayer in terms of when you're praying out in agony or praying for delivery or praying for healing or praying for whatever. On the other side, if you're praising God, thank you God for this, thank you God for that, right? Same thing, just two different sides, right? And I said it before, I'll say it again. This generation, we are really good at sharing prayer requests because we want to be spiritual sometimes, okay? So what we do is like, at least when you go to college, okay? So that's like Elliot, Caitlin, Jay, and all those old guys, okay? All you old people, right? What you guys are going to start seeing in your age group is people have no problem sharing one or two, like, really, what they would consider a really big, bad prayer request. Like, oh, I'm so bad at this, or I need help with this, you know? But the problem is, that's a little lopsided, because if you focus on, please pray for me for this, please pray for me for this, or that, this and that, right? What happens is we take that focus and then we make it about ourselves, right? But the thing about prayer is, prayer by its nature always draws the focus away from ourselves and onto God, every time. That's the nature of prayer, okay? So that's why you need a balance. You definitely need to ask for prayers. Please join me in my prayer for this. I need help from God for this. At the same time, you also need to share praise. Okay? You know what? I want to report to you. We call it praise reports or whatever you want to call it. Right? Please, you know, let's praise God with me for this. God did this for me. You know, God did that for me. You know, I was sick and we prayed and God, you know, God healed us. Okay? Stuff like that. So you need a balance, right? But nonetheless, whether it be prayers for what do we call it? Supplication, right? Prayers of confession, prayers of acknowledgement, or whether it be prayers of praise. It's one of the same thing. But both of those prayers in general, their main focus is to take the focus off ourselves and even our situations and bring it all the way back to God. What does that mean? It means this. Whether your life is in terrible situation, whether it be a good situation, right? James says pray. Whatever your situation might be, pray. Why? Because it makes us acknowledge that while we don't have the power to change the situation, God still is in charge of everything. Right? It reminds me of a story of Heather Mercer, right? I told this story before. A high school graduate, I guess she graduated from Langley High School, which is 15 minutes down the street. You hop on 495, go about 10 minutes down that way towards Maryland, and it's the last exit, Virginia exit. And if you get off there, there's a high school right there. And she's graduated from there. I guess it's about 15 years ago. Heather Mercer. right? By her account, her testimony, she was just a typical high school kid, met God, got flipped upside down. Soon as she graduated, and while all her friends and her family wanted to get her ready for college and everything like that, she said, no, you know what? I'm going to go to Afghanistan because people in Afghanistan don't know God and they need to. So her and her friend jumped in an airplane, joined with a missionary group, and went to Afghanistan. And this is literally weeks before the 9/11 and all of that stuff happens. Right? And so she's in Afghanistan before 9/11 happens, and she's actually in Afghanistan when 9/11 happens. And then to make it worse, she got kidnapped. Her teen got kidnapped a little bit after 9/11 happens. And so I guess a lot of you guys don't really remember what happened 9/11, but 9/11 happened, and it was pretty, the government moved pretty quickly in terms of response. And we were about to go to war. We went to war with Afghanistan pretty quickly. And Al-Qaeda, the group that had kidnapped Heather and her team, was trying to make a deal with the government saying, hey, if you don't come to our country, if you don't bomb us, we'll give these hostages back to you. Government response is, we don't deal with terrorists. No deal. Thanks, but no thanks, right? And so we went to war. And Heather tells in her testimony that they don't even know what's going on because they're locked up in a cave. You know, they get moved from cave to cave. So they don't really know. They don't have internet. They don't have news. They just know what they're told, you know. It was a little bit of a big deal, especially in this area because, again, Heather's a local girl, right? And anyway, the government eventually went to war with Afghanistan, and then they sent a special forces team to rescue Heather. They tracked down where she was, where her and her team was being held. Sent in the special teams, got her out, got her on an airplane, and she came back home. Doing a whole bunch of interviews, obviously, because, you know, little girl, you know, she was in the international news. And they said, so what's next for you? She said, I'm going to go to Iraq. Okay, mind you, this is like right about the time when like U.S. is about to go to war with Iraq, right? And apparently she had contact with teams that were doing missionary work in Iraq. And they said, why? And she said, because it's not about me. Whatever the situation, it's not about me. Whatever the situation is, whether it be good or bad, God is still in control. So whether I die, whether I live, God is still in control, right? If I believe that God is really good, and if God is really good, and God is really powerful, and God really is the king of the universe, and if those things are true, then I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to go do this thing, right? Do you realize that as we pray, when we pray, our confidence in God grows? Because prayer, again, reminds us. When we pray, right? A couple Sundays ago, we were talking about when we were doing the 11 o'clock thing, right? We were talking about the different kinds of prayer and praying through the Bible. Remember, Joseph? Right? The reason why I want you to do that is because when you pray through the Bible, you're reminding yourself. We don't need to remind God. God doesn't forget. God has a really, really good memory. Right? It's not like God ever goes, hey, Elliot, what did I do? I don't remember when I... What happened with this guy, Moses, right? That'd be retarded. That'd be ridiculous, right? He doesn't need us to remind him, right? The reason why we pray through the Bible is to remind ourselves. And when we remind ourselves, our confidence in God grows, right? I'm not saying that in order for you to be a really a Christian or even a super Christian that you need to be like Heather and jump on an airplane and go buy a one-way ticket to Iraq and go do that thing. If that's your calling, you have my blessing. Right, but what I'm trying to say is, this is how it comes out in real life. Right, this can't just be theories in our minds. This can't just be Bible studies that we have in our buildings. This has to be literal, everyday, boots on the ground kind of thing. And this is how it comes out. If God is truly king and God is truly in power and in control, and He says, pray. Because it's for you, it's for your good. When you pray, your confidence grows. Your relationship with me grows. then we can start stepping out like Heather and say, you know what? God is good. God is powerful. And no matter whether I'm at home or I'm in northern Iraq or I'm being held captive by Al-Qaeda in the dark caves of Afghanistan, not knowing whether I'm going to die that day, God is still good. And God is still powerful. And prayer reminds me of that. Right? This is why we need to pray. I think sometimes we don't pray is because we don't think that's true. We're afraid even. I know when I was growing up through a youth group, sometimes I didn't want to pray because I was afraid of what God might say. I was afraid that if I really started praying, right, then God would say, go do this, go do that, go talk to this person, go do this, don't do that, stop doing this. I was afraid. Right? Because God is in control. When you pray, you're reminded of that. And sometimes we don't like that. Right? And so prayer always brings us clarity and focus. Right? It takes the focus off of us, off of ourselves, and brings focus to God. That He is in charge no matter the circumstance. He is in charge no matter where we are geography-wise. And that's a little bit disturbing if you think about it. Right? If you read Psalm 139, right, King David says, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. And there is no place where I can go where you won't find me. Right? David says, even if I jump on an airplane and go to the highest altitude, or if I get on a submarine and go to the deepest parts of the ocean, you're still there. Where can I go from your spirit, right? The difference is that relationship. If we don't have a relationship with God, that's terrifying. That's terrifying. If you talk to any of your non-Christian friends and you say, hey, guess what? There's no place where you can escape God's sight. That's terrifying to them, right? But to believers, you say, like for example, right? You talk to a non-Christian friend, you say, hey, there is no place where you can go where you are hidden from God's sight. Okay, right? But you talk to someone like Heather, who's locked up in Afghanistan, in the caves of Afghanistan, not knowing if Al-Qaeda is going to just chop her head off the next hour. You say, hey, guess what? There's no place where you can go where you are beyond God's sight. That's comforting. You see that? So that prayer, right? It brings us a focus. Where is your relationship with God? How serious is your relationship with God? Are you just dating God, or are you serious with Him? Right? Because honestly, God's not really interested in just casual dating. Right? He's all in. He's all in. And so it makes sense when the Bible says God is jealous when he's trying to have a real serious relationship with us, and then we start cheating on him with what? Money, video games, grades, friends, whatever. Right? Prayer brings us that focus. Second lesson that we see is sharing prayer requests. Right, we talked about this a little bit beforehand. Sharing prayer requests is a very necessary thing. It's a very good thing. Especially, we talked about a couple Fridays ago, community. Right? Community. Right? Jay and Elliot, you guys are the big champions. Yeah, we need community. And Jay even said, you can't leave early because we need community. And I said, you can have community by yourselves. Okay. But in order to have community, one of the things that you need is a shared prayer request. You need to have an invested interest in each other's prayer lives. Meaning, Elliot should be absolutely interested in how much Hunter prays. And you need to be very interested in how much Joseph prays. So much so that if one of you guys is lacking, it's not just me and Johnny that needs to worry about it. Everyone needs to be worried about it. You see that? So if Hunter stops praying, it's not just my problem. It's an everybody problem. That's what a community means. Right? And so sharing prayer requests. Even the Apostle Paul, the mighty Apostle Paul. Right? This man single-handedly expanded the church from Jerusalem to the known Greek-Roman world. Right? There's possibility that he might have even reached Spain. Possibly. We know he wanted to go there, but we're not sure if he did, right? Even the mighty Apostle Paul, this man got whipped, got shipwrecked, all these things, right? Still was not afraid to share prayer requests. If you read his letters, it's, man, I got this problem, pray for me. Yo, I'm trying to do this, pray with me. You know? Man, I got this little crick in my arm. There's a part where it seems to be like they think that he might have had some arthritis problems. So his later letters was written by a scribe. So he couldn't write anymore because his hand was so messed up, right? We know his eyesight was going bad, right? So he had people read letters to him, right? The mighty Apostle Paul is not afraid to say, "I need your prayers." That being said, if Paul is like that, how much more? Even Jesus, remember, the night before, where he gets arrested, right? What is he telling his disciples? Hey, pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. Right? Sharing prayer requests is a good thing. We need to do it. Now, the thing about sharing prayer requests is this. It's very, very humbling. Especially when you're honest. Okay? Especially when you're honest. Because if we're really honest, let's just think for a moment to ourselves, right? Just take for a moment and say, what is one or two, maybe three humongous prayer requests that I need prayer for, but I can't share publicly? Everyone's got one. Right? And we can't share it because, I don't know, pride, title, position. Everyone's got it in some degree or form. And so this is, again, coming back to community. What kind of community do we have? Is it a community where we just get together to have fun? Or is it a community of prayer? This is my biggest respect I have for our senior pastor. He is a man of prayer. He likes to pray. Furthermore, he teaches our parents and our grandparents how to pray, and then he leads them in prayer. That's good, right? He's like, I like to pray. This is how we should pray. So let's pray together. That's a pretty simple approach, but it works. The amazing thing about Christian prayer, not just regular prayer, Christian prayer, is that after 2,000 years, it still works. Right? And so the Bible says to us individually, pray. And then the Bible tells us collectively to the church, pray. All right? This is what Paul is talking about when he says, pray without end, pray without stopping. Right? It doesn't mean while you're driving, right, Elliot closes his eyes and does this. That's very dangerous, hazardous to your health and everyone else around you. Right? Don't want to do that. But even as you're driving, you can pray, right, with your eyes open. Right? And then when you get together, as a church. And one of the most, I guess, apparently unpopular lessons that I've taught to college students is fellowship isn't a bunch of Christian people hanging out together. That's not fellowship. That's just a bunch of Christian people hanging out together. Fellowship is when Christians get together, share our prayer requests, share our praise reports. That's fellowship. So prayer, a wise Christian singer once said, let us pray, everywhere and every way. Even while the song is playing, let us pray. Right? Because prayer brings us focus onto God, away from ourselves. Also, we need to get in the habit of sharing prayer requests, sharing our weaknesses. Did you know that, Hunter, your weakness spiritually can be covered by other people? The reason why God gave us this church is so that other people can cover your weakness. It's a little bit like 300. Okay? When you're old, when you're old enough, you can watch it. But the ancient Greeks had this formation. What was it? The phalanx, right? And it only works because they all move as one, right? You have one huge shield and one spear, right? And it works because the guy next to you covers your weakness, right? So there's no penetration, right? His phalanx is basically a defensive thing. It's a defensive whatever, right? That's just acting as an offense because you can't penetrate it until the Romans figured out how to beat it, right? But that's another history of war. Basically the church, right? Spiritually, we need to be a phalanx, covering each other's weaknesses, covering each other's weak side, okay? So, conclusion. Whatever is going on in our lives, whatever the situation, wherever we might be. Again, in a couple of days, we're going to a retreat. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited. I love retreats. I have the most fun at retreats. That's a little secret. Right? For some of you guys who have ever gone to retreats with me, Ellie can probably tell you, I have the most fun. I love it. Right? But the thing that I need to keep reminding myself is, God doesn't just live at retreat centers. God doesn't just live in those special days out of the whole year. Right? God is everywhere. Right? I'm going to leave you with this one quote. There's no square inch in all of reality which Jesus Christ, master of the universe, doesn't say, that's mine. Let's pray.